Hello, everyone. It's very, very lovely to be here. I say that every time, and I really do mean it. I love coming down to Darlington Church and just being part of, you know, your family and your community. And you know, I do come down to teach, but at the same time, I really have so much to learn from all of you. And yeah, I love it. I feel warm here. Just feel warm and fuzzy and cozy. Just because of the love that you guys have for each other, and it's very pleasant for me to be here. So thank you for welcoming me and allowing me the opportunity to share some stuff that, you know, I've been learning about from God. And yeah, I just want to open in prayer. I know Heather just prayed, but I also just feel like I need to pray as well, because I'm so aware that I have nothing of my own to offer anyone at all. It is only God who can do what God can do. So I just want to give this to Him, and yeah, just bow your heads and pray with me. Father, I just so appreciate You. I just so appreciate the gift of the Holy Spirit who has come into my life and revealed to me Jesus Christ, that You have given me truth, that it's the will of God that I would know You and that I would walk out intimacy with You. Father, I just cry out on behalf of everyone here, asking for Your wisdom and Your understanding, that You would reveal to us the will of God, that You would give us revelation. Father, Your word is what sustains us. We starve and we die away spiritually when we don't read Your word. So Father, please just come and bring life to us. Come and make things known to us. It says in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call to me and I will answer you. And I will teach you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Father, we are calling to You and we are asking for You to reveal to us things that we do not know. In Your name we pray, amen. Cool. All right, let's go. Let's have fun. yeah, so I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 2 today. And the thing that I've just been thinking about and learning about is how to remain in that place of right perspective. Right, to see things clearly when sometimes in life things aren't as easy to see things clearly. What do I mean by that? Well, you know how life is, right? You know, things happen. You know, things come up in family, at work, just life. Like last week, my car, I drove through a puddle and water got in the engine. Just life happens sometimes, hey. And when these things happen in life, which they do, it can be challenging to keep the right perspective on things, especially with things in God, right? And we need to be careful, because sometimes we can allow the things going on in our life to get so big that we lose sight of the gospel and what it is. So what I want to focus on today is just getting a realignment of perspective and just seeing things clearly. And, you know, when I see this in my life, like, it's a powerful place to be, where life can be happening around you. You can be going through really tough circumstances, but you're remaining unchanged. That's quite a powerful place to be. And, you know, I just get massive inspiration from God through Jesus Christ, right? He came into the world and, man, He had the right perspective all the way through. Nothing changed what He saw, even while on the cross. He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Nothing changed His perspective. He always saw things clearly. And so I want to focus on chapter 2 of Hebrews, but I want to finish the verse that I'm going to end on. It's chapter 3, verse 1. This is like my key scripture. This is my anchor, right? This is the thing that we're focusing on. And it says this, chapter 3, verse 1 in Hebrews. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, who we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Now, this scripture starts by calling us holy brothers and sisters. You know, He's talking to us who are holy, who are in the family of God, and who do share in the heavenly callings, right? He's addressing us in a very awesome way. It's saying, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Him. Fix it, you know, not just like get it there and then look away, but put it there and then lock it in. Get it fixed in that place of thinking about Jesus and seeing Him clearly, right? So that's the main scripture that we want to focus on. And we're going to back up all the way back to chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 5. And basically what we're going to see here as we go through this scripture is just one point after the other point of the other point. And very easily, each point can become its own sermon. But that's not going to happen today. I'm not going to preach for 5 hours. That would be fun. But no, we won't be doing that. I bet if Cal was here, he'd be going, yeah, do it, Alex. No, we're not going to do it. We're just going to go through these points. And so I'll read the whole section. We're going to go from chapter 5 to the end, and to the end of the chapter. And, you know, Hebrews, it's a bit, the language in Hebrews can be hard to understand sometimes. And there are going to be things coming up in this scripture that we go, what does that mean? And you're just going to have to go and figure that out by sitting down and breaking it down. You know how Hebrews is. It's quite, you know, wordy. You know, high priest and, you know, tabernacle and what are these things? And you do sometimes have to slow down. But I'm not going to be slowing down. So if you want to know more, you're going to have to go out and do that in your own time. I'm going to machine gun through it. So let's get into it. Verse 5. It is not to angels that He has subject the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what He suffered. And this scripture here is absolutely awesome. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, He says, here am I, the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by fear of death. That's pretty significant. For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason He had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. And what I just see in all this scripture is just how much God, through Jesus, wants to walk with us and help us. That He took the nature of a human, that He left heaven, came down here in the likeness of flesh, and became a sin offering. And now He is able to relate to us in every way, that we can hold His hand and rely on Him. I just get so much encouragement out of this. And I don't know about you, but you know, there are times when you know, this scripture, what I mentioned about, was having a right perspective. And I just know how dangerous it is to not have the right perspective. For example, I'm just going to speak about something that's kind of been happening in my life where in my own family, I got really frustrated at my brother, my sister and my mum and dad. And it was pretty significant in my heart was what was going on. And, you know, I have a great family, but there was just this one thing that happened that I took offense to. I got offended. And in my heart, I was angry. I had judged them, and I took offense to them. And my perspective is not clear. I am not seeing things through the gospel. I'm seeing things through my experience of what's happened. And because I'm seeing things this way, all these thoughts are happening in my mind. Thoughts of anger, of like, man, I'm done with these people. Seriously, like, I know that sounds crazy, and it is crazy. It sounds crazy. I'm just going to be honest about the things that I was thinking. It sounds ridiculous, and I am slightly, you know, embarrassed about it. But I was seriously thinking about just cutting them out of my life. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that was what's going through my mind. Like, man, I'm sick of these people. They don't see clearly. And all this anger and frustration and bitterness are growing in my heart, all because I wasn't seeing things clearly. But, you know, God, through His Holy Spirit, is going, Alex, this isn't right. And what I had to do was, is come back to seeing things clearly, getting a right perspective. And when I saw things clearly, I was able to forgive them, and all those thoughts just went away. And I was able to love them again. That's the power of having a right perspective. You know, let's take another example. Let's say something happens in life, and it's like majorly inconvenient, like my car breaking down. You know, let's say I get frustrated and go, God, what's going on? You know, the place I was serving God at the time. But what if I had the wrong perspective and I start getting resentful towards God? I'm no longer seeing Him as the giver of all things. Now I'm seeing Him as someone who's taken away and going, God, what did you do this? I thought you loved me. Do you see the crazy places that we can go when we don't see things clearly? And that's why we need to come to sections of Scripture like this and just see God for who He is. And it will protect us from thinking crazy thoughts and being, you know, driven by those thoughts as well. I love what it starts here. It says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for them. You know, this is actually one of the most beautiful things about God. Just think about this for a moment. God created the whole universe. All those beautiful stars out there. You know, all those galaxies and you know, it just goes on and on and on. I watched a video once about how big everything is, and it just gets bigger, and then it just gets bigger, and it gets bigger and bigger. There is so much out there. And yet, out of all of creation, out of everything that He has made, He has chosen you to be the center of His focus. If you sit and think about that, that will change the way you see things and the way you think about how God looks at you. That you are the apple of His eye. And the angels are going there, like, why are you mindful of these guys? Like, what's so great about them? I'm not sure if that's what the angels are thinking. I'm adding my own little interpretation. But the angels are thinking about it. Why? What's with mankind? That you love them and care about them. Especially when, you know, mankind has done so much wrong. Now, He just loves us. We are the center of His heart. The apple of His eye. Do you know that? Is that in your perspective? Is that the way you see things? Do you know in the depth of your heart that you are God's treasure? That He loves you so much? We're going to get into some more of what Jesus has done. But you guys, we need to learn how to see things always in that perspective. And when we grow in that place, when something comes up, we're not going to switch over and go, God, I thought you loved me. We'll see things clearly and see it for what it is. And it's just life happening. Having the right perspective is what will protect you from all these other dangerous thoughts that come in. And it talks about Jesus. We do see Jesus in verse 9, who was made lower than the angels for a while, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Like I was saying before, actually that song before, King of Kings, The lyrics of it is so awesome. I actually love the song King of Kings. I have it in the back of my Bible. It's just a very special song to me. It says, "In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes." Come on. That, you know, we were stuck in this place, you know, of being fallen and broken. And God left that place of high authority, of being over all things, and became lower than the angels. And he came down to our position. I think about that lyric, right? Why did God have to be born into the dirt, in a manger with the animals? Why was God born into the dirt for Jesus? And the answer that I have come up with is because I was in the dirt. He came so low to where I was and picked me up out of the darkness and brought me back out. And now he has been crowned with glory and he took me there with him. That I actually have now a new position because of Christ. Man, if you start walking around thinking like that, nothing's going to upset you. Like, how can you? But you have to actually build yourself up in this truth. You've got to have the perspective. You've got to remember these things and let them be the lens that you look through. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it says that he tasted death for everyone. It talks about that a bit later. I want to talk about that more. Yeah, I'll talk about it now. That he tasted death for everyone. Here's something to think about. On the cross, Jesus said this, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" That for a moment, Jesus was spiritually separated from the Father. You see, when he went to the cross, he took everything that we deserved. We deserve separation from God. But he took that away from us by putting it on himself. He was separated from God that we may never be separated from God. That he tasted what it's like to die for us, that we may never taste death. You guys will never die. Do you know that? You know, your body will, you know, go to sleep, as Scripture puts it. But there's an eternal life waiting for you. That everything in this life is just so temporary, but you are eternal. That you have eternal life in you. And everything going on in your life right now that is hard and unbearable, man, put that in comparison to the eternal hope that's to come. It's nothing. How powerful is that perspective? You know, Paul talks about how, you know, he's been whipped and shipwrecked and beaten and mocked and scoffed and being poor. And then at the end of this list where he's talking about being whipped with the, you know, 39 lashes, he says, "We consider these light afflictions." That's what he calls it, light afflictions. That all these things that we're going through because of Jesus, because he has tasted death for us, they're just light afflictions. It's nothing. It's easy. But man, if you don't have that perspective, it just becomes everything. And you get to this place of woe me, pity me, all that's going through my life. Jesus, I thought you loved me. Have you ever thought like that? But with this perspective, what Jesus has done for you, man, it's really hard to think like that. And then verse 10, it says, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make and the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered." So it says that he is the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. It actually says that in chapter 12, verse, I think it's 3. We'll find out in a sec if I'm right. I bet I am. No, it's verse 2. I was wrong. It says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Right? He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Everything exists through him and is for him. And that we can look to him and see things through what he went through and learn from him. That in every situation that we go through, there is something to learn through Christ. Now, what does that look like? I want to slow down and just explain what I mean. All right? So I'm going through life and I'm put in a hard situation where I'm having to grow. If I do this separate from God and separate from the way that he thinks about things, it's just not going to end well. But if I come to him and I join together with him and partner with him, man, he's the perfecter of faith. He's perfecting my faith. I'm learning how to walk this life when I partner with Him. I'm learning how to handle this life. And then it says, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Do you see that way? Do you think about that way for yourself? Do you know that you are a member of God's household? Do you know that you are a precious child of God? I find that a lot of people don't really think that way. That they don't really know that. That they don't identify with that. Let's go to Ephesians. I think it's chapter 2. I've got a bookmark. Now that I'm jumping around. In chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, therefore, remember the formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the uncircumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Right? And then it talks about how, consequently, in verse 19, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of God's people and are also members of His household. What does that mean? Do you know how when you go to your parents' house? Or, you know, you have kids come over and they just feel at home? It's like, this is my home and I feel comfortable. I sit on the couch and I just belong here. That's how it is in heaven. You can walk into the throne room and go, this is my home. This is the place that I belong. That you are a legitimate member of God's household. That both the person who makes people holy and is holy, so you've got Jesus Christ over there who is holy, and you've got me who's been made holy, we are of the same family. I am in the family of God. This is another thing. We need to build our perspective. We need to see ourselves this way. I'm a legitimate member of God's household. That means I can approach Him like a son and just have intimate relationship with Him. I know I'm jumping through a lot of points here. This is all what's building our perspective. You must learn to see yourself as a child of God, that you are a member of His household. Man, if you think about that, when life hardships come up, it's not going to seem all that big. It's going to be very, very easy to deal with it, I find anyway. Yeah, I'm not a stranger. I'm not a foreigner. I'm a legitimate member of His household. He's made me a son. And I'm going to walk around with that. I'm going to carry on that. All right. Now we're about to move on to a new point, okay? I know I'm just boom, 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 machine gunning through it. All these things, right, is what building our faith. It's building our perspective. So what we've covered so far, that we're the apple of His eye, that He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, that He's actually working in us to help us believe, and He tasted death for everyone, right? So that's just like halfway through. We've got more things that Jesus has done for us. And if we grab onto these things and let them be our perspective, it's going to guide us through life and help us to persevere. All right. Verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. That's another thing that we need to grow in our perspective and grow in understanding. That we are in no way held bondage to the enemy anymore. Now, I know what that looks like in my life. Before I knew Christ Jesus, I believed a lot of lies about myself. I can tell you the lies that I believed. I thought I was worthless. And this was true to me. It wasn't just like a lie and a bad thought I would have. I truly believed in my heart that I had no value and that dirt was more valuable than me. And I just remember the enemy coming to me and just like with a baseball bat, smacking me over the head with all these lies day after day. I would just be so cruel to myself. Every lie about me, I just believed it. I was nothing. I was unlovable. I was broken. I was beyond being saved. No one would ever care for me. Yep, that I was a failure. All these things. And it's not just like, you know, I would believe it every now and then. This was my truth. And the devil would beat me over the head with it. And, you know, that's just kind of what he was doing. I remember just all these things and lies that he would speak to me. And just the bondage that I was in when living separate from the Lord. But now what I realize in Christ Jesus, that every bondage has been broken off, that I am a free man, and that he has no legal access to me anymore. And those lies that he speaks to me, nope, you can't do that. He says in Romans 8 verse 2, that the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death, that he has no access to me anymore, that I belong completely to the Father. I was once a slave, it says in the next verse, 15, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I used to be afraid of death, afraid of what would happen and you know, just the end of all things, crippled and living my life in fear. But what Jesus Christ has done for me has set me free from this fear, that I now have eternal life, inheritance inside of me, and death, where is your sting? Like, what's he got on me anymore? I'm completely set free. I'm completely set free. Like, that's real for me. That's real for me. I'm growing up in that space. Yeah. He's broken the power of him who holds the power of death. I belong to the Father. Only he can touch me. Only he has access to my heart. You know, this stuff, you know, when you really build that into your heart and you get that into your perspective, you start tolerating less, and you stop giving the devil credit for things, you know? And if he does do something, you go, hang on, you can't do that. Let me share with you a story. I remember one time I was on my couch, and, you know, I believe the enemy can do things. I know he can, but he's a liar, and his experiences are lies. I was laying on my couch, and all of a sudden, I felt my head being crushed, right? And I started freaking out. And I can't really explain how, but I had an awareness that it was like this snake was on my head crushing me. And I could feel it. It was real. And I'm starting to freak out. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, I realize, hang on, I've been set free. You can't do this to me anymore. And as soon as I thought that, the thing just went away. And it's just confirmed to me that having the right perspective is what's going to set us free from all these things. Seeing things clearly. You've got to know that the devil has no access to you anymore. That you've been set free. And when you grow in that perspective, man, it's like he can't do anything to you anymore. I remember this one time I woke up and I just heard in my mind, whether it was him or not, it doesn't matter too much. Let's just say it was, let's say it wasn't, who cares? But I heard this in my mind, right? That you have no value. And because I know the gospel, because I have this perspective in Christ, it's like a flashlight went on this lie and go, hang on, that's a lie, wrong, put it away. Because of my perspective in Christ Jesus, I'm set free from all these things. That's the message I'm trying to communicate to you, that you need to build a perspective on the gospel, right? That you are the apple of God's eye. He loves you and he treasures you, right? That he is perfecting your faith, that he has tasted death for you. You've been set free from anything that the enemy would do over you. You've got to build yourself up in this truth. You've got to build yourself up in this perspective. You've got to see things clearly. And when you do that, man, you're free. All right, we're not even done. We've still got more to go through. All right, but we are going to bring it to a close eventually. Yeah, there's no fear of death. There is no death for you. There's just an eternal inheritance. I know I'm about to move on, but just think about this, guys. 1 trillion years from here, you'll still be alive. Just one, times that by a trillion, it won't end. There is no death. There is no end. There is just all things made new. Man, that's amazing. How little is this life? How temporary? Like, it's nothing. It's zero. 100 years compared to a trillion times a trillion times a trillion is nothing. Oh, come on. That's the perspective that will mess you up. We could talk about that for a while, but we won't. Where am I? Verse 17. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. Man, Jesus was human. He experienced it all. He knows what it's like. I watched The Chosen, and as a kid, he trips over and grazes his knee. Or was that The Passion? Oh, it's one of those Jesus movies. And I just love that, you know, that Jesus, he knew what it was like to be a kid and fall over. He knew what it was like to go to school and, you know, I don't know what, how much of it he experienced it and how much he didn't, but, you know, he had to obey his parents when he was God. Sometimes I feel like God and my parents know very little, but he actually was God and he knew better, but he submitted to his parents. He experienced everything. He experienced betrayal. He experienced being, you know, abandoned. He experienced being the only one who was right. He experienced loving someone and not being loved back. He knows what it's like to be human. He came and experienced it, right? In order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. He's totally able to relate to us and totally able to atone for our sins. That he came and took our place of punishment and put it on himself, and now he is the high priest over God. Think about this. Right now, God is in the heavenly place interceding for you, just praying the will of God over your life, praying the blessings of God into your life. He is so for you, it's ridiculous. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So here's another perspective that we need to grow in. What is it in life that you're going through right now? Have you been including him, like Heather talked about, including him into it, knowing that he is able to relate to you, that he's the high priest over you? Have you been able to allow him to help you as you go through this life's trials and hardships? I want to read this next section of scripture because it really just wraps up the point, and then I'll close in prayer. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share... So therefore, the word therefore is very important. It goes, since everything we talked about, let's do this. All that list we went through, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, who we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Don't get taken away by life's distractions. Don't let that take away your perspective and all that we have in Christ. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house. So God's faithful over the house, and we are the house. God is faithful over us. Man, that's encouraging. But then it says this. If. There's a condition here. If, indeed, we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Basically, man, we're going to experience the blessings of God if we hold the right perspective, if we see things clearly. It's really important that we have that perspective. Don't let anything get in the way. Know these things and hold firmly to them. If we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory, blessings flow through this perspective. There's glory to be had. When you see yourself through the eyes of what the gospel is preaching, your life will shine. There'll be joy. There'll be peace. There'll be the fruits of the Spirit. all these things will come out of your life and you'll bear witness to God, the hope of glory, the manifestation of God, if we hold firmly to this perspective. I hope that's made sense. I want it to be a simple message. Hebrews isn't really simple. It gets quite complicated. But basically, just hold on to these things and feed yourself on it. Feed yourself and build yourself up in the faith. It's really important. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer and someone will take over and do something. Cool. Yeah, just bow your heads. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord God, that you have given us truth. And that truth is so different to anything that we've experienced before. I want to pray, Father, that you would help us to see things through the perspective of the gospel. Help us to stand firm in the faith. Help us to believe that you are the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, that we no longer belong to the enemy, but that we are now children of your household, that we are holy, and that we are in the same family as Jesus Christ. In your name I pray, amen. Thanks, guys.